coming in here.
You got a quorum.
All right. I'd like to call to order the Administrative Finance Committee meeting for June 9th, 2020. And through this virtual Zoom webinar meeting, I want to recognize the council members that have joined us in the Zoom meeting: Councilman Smiley, Councilman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Street, Councilman Carter, Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Woods, Councilwoman Durham, Councilman Bell, Council President Hartley Nagel. I'm Councilman John Cartier, and I'm conducting and leading the meeting, and my legislative aide, Michelle Gilday, is taking the minutes. So I would like to begin with the agenda, and I know it looks like a really large agenda. There are a lot of items on it, but I think I'm going to try to break it down for council members. I think a lot of it is very non-controversial, and we'll take questions on it through the various sections, especially the beginning with resolutions. So I want to also recognize Councilman Tackett has joined us. And with that, do I have a motion on the approval of the minutes from May 26th?
Motion approved is provided.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the minutes as submitted. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, the minutes are approved. Beginning under resolution. So I'm going to start off by telling council members that the first 13 resolutions that we're looking at are expending funds from the appropriation of the initial $85 million that we made just recently. And all the first 13 deal with the municipalities. So I'm going to read one for form, but it goes resolution 20-90, authorizing execution of one purchase order contract for the city of Delaware City for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department of Administration, amount of $62,300. So they're all going to all the municipalities. I'm going to read basically that's the format that's on each one, and I'm going to basically associate the municipality with each resolution number. So the next resolution, 20-91, that is going to go to the city of Newcastle in the amount of $188,000. The next one, R20-092, in the amount of $1,150,000, is going to the city of Newark for COVID-related expenses. The next item, R20-093, is going to go to the city of Wilmington in the amount of $2,400,000. The next one, R20-094, is going for the town of Belfont for COVID-related expenses in the amount of $40,700. The next one, R20-095, is in the amount of $204,000, and that's going to the town of Ellesmere. R20-096 is going to the town of Middletown for expenditures related to COVID in the amount of $770,000. The next one, R20-097, is going to the town of Newport, again, for COVID-related expenditures, $35,100. R20-098, that is going to go to the town of Odessa, and it's in the amount of $12,400. The next one, R20-099, is going to go to the town of Townsend in the amount of $87,700. The next one, R20-100, is going to the village of Arden in the amount of $15,100. Next is R20-101. And that's going to the village of Ardencroft in the amount of $7,400. R20-102 is going to the village of Ardentown, and that is going to be for $9,100. So these are all the municipalities, 13. it's allocated based on population. And I don't, I'll open up, does any member of council have any questions on the first 13 resolutions dealing with the expenditures of CARES Act grant money for COVID-related expenses to the municipalities? Seeing none, is there any questions from the public?
No.
Councilwoman Diller.
Yes. My question is this money actually being given to the municipalities and the jurisdictions, or is this a line of credit that they're going to draw against with our finance department? Just curious about that.
We have our CFO of Newcastle County, Michael Smith, joining us. He just unmuted and turned on his camera. Could you please answer the question for Councilwoman Diller?
Yes, Councilwoman Diller. No, it's not being sent to them. What it's doing is authorizing us to reimburse them for eligible expenses up to that amount. So that there's a process in place where they're going to have to get certified with us, submit a reimbursement request, and we have to vet it through legal and accounting to make sure that's a legitimate expense, and then they'll be reimbursed up to that amount.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you for that question. Very good clarifying question. Councilman Carter.
You're muted, guy.
About a week ago, Mike, we talked about or corresponded on email that we were going to set up an online system for them to, for the towns to begin to submit and use. I didn't know what the status is. I just wanted to check so I give guidance to any of the municipalities down here.
The status is, as we discussed, there's a little bit of quite a bit of guidance that came out, and we felt the need to change our certification for council to know. We had kind of a certification form ready. We had a reimbursement form ready. Significant guidance came out after that, more guidance from the U.S. Treasury, and we decided we're going to change those forms. We have recently hired outside counsel. They are reviewing our forms right now and our certification. They expect to have it to us by close of business tomorrow. That gives us time to get the certification up by Friday, hopefully, and then early next week, the reimbursement form to make sure that we're completely compliant with second order grants in the CARES Act.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for members of council concerning resolutions for COVID-related expenses for the municipalities? Seeing none, I'd like to recognize Councilman Hollins has joined us at the meeting. We're going to move on. So now the next 21 resolutions are basically dedicating funds, purchase order contracts to the 21 fire companies throughout Newcastle County. So I'm going to read one for form. I'm going to go and summarize them in the manner which I did before for the municipalities, and we'll take questions at the end. All right. Next on the agenda, resolution 20-103, authorizing execution of one purchase order contract for Aetna Hose, Hook and Ladder Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures for the Department Administration in the amount of $80,692. So this is each one will get a different amount of money, and I'll go through and just mention each fire company related to the resolution, and we'll take questions at the end. Next on the agenda, resolution 20-104. And this one is going to go to the Belvedere Fire Company for COVID-related expenditures in the amount of $39,167. Next on the agenda, R20-105, again, to the Brandywine 100 Fire Company for COVID-related expenditures in the amount of $40,309. Next, R20-106. COVID-related expenditures for the Christiana Fire Company in the amount of $67,231. Next, R20-107, going to the Claymont Fire Company for COVID system-related expenditures in the amount of $53,770. Next, resolution 20-108, again, Cranston Heights Fire Company, financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures in the amount of $39,167. Next, R20-109, going to the Delaware City Fire Company for financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures in $45,688. Next, R20-110, going to the Elsevier Fire Company, COVID-related expenditures, $40,309. Next, R20-111, Five Points Fire Company, financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures, $40,309. Next, R20-112, Goodwill Fire Company, expenditures related to COVID-related expenditures, $45,688. Next, Hulkesson Fire Company, R20-113, amount of $40,309. Next, R20-114, Holloway Terrace Fire Company, COVID-related expenditures in the amount of $44,547. Next, R20-115, Mill Creek Fire Company, COVID-related expenditures in the amount of $53,770. Next, R20-116, Minkwoodale Fire Company, expenditures for COVID-related expenses, $39,167. Next, R20-117, Minkwoods Fire Company, COVID-related expenditures in the amount of $44,547. Moving on, R20-118. This is going to Odessa Fire Company, assistance for COVID-related expenditures in the amount of $53,770. Next, R20-119, Port Penn Fire Company, COVID-related expenditures, $44,547. Next, R20-120, Tallyville Fire Company, COVID-related expenditures in the amount of $40,309. Next, R20-121, authorizing for Townsend Fire Company, in the amount of $39,167. Next, R20-112, authorizing for Volunteer Hose Fire Company of Middletown, assistance for COVID-related expenditures in the amount of $53,770. Lastly, for the fire companies, R20-123, Wilmington Manor Fire Company, financial assistance for COVID-related expenditures, the amount of $53,770. All right, that concludes the fire service 21. Any questions from members of council? Any comments related to CARES Act funds to help assist our fire service, contract fire service with their COVID-related expenditures? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to compliment yourself, Councilman Smiley, our chairs of Finance Committee, as well as our administration, and working closely with our volunteer fire service during these very difficult times. Thank you.
Happy to do so. Thank you for that. All right. Next on the agenda, essentially what you're going to be looking at now are a group of nonprofits, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 nonprofits that are going to benefit from our pass-through funds for COVID response activity. So I'm going to read through these. I would take questions at the end, and we've got 7 items that are described in this way. Any comments? All right. Next, R20-124, authorizing execution of one purchase order contract for the City of Newark Planning and Development Department for a pass-through grant for COVID response activities for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $168,781.68. All right, next, same format for the resolution. And this is going to Community Legal Aid Society Incorporated with a pass-through grant involving the Department of Community Services in the amount of $100,000. Next, R20-126. This is for the Family Promise of Northern New Castle County Incorporated Nonprofit with a pass-through grant from Community Services of $120,000. Next, R20-127. This is a pass-through grant to Family Promise of Northern New Castle County Incorporated in the amount of $248,531.76. Next, R20-128. This is a pass-through to the Ministry of Caring nonprofit in the amount of $100,000 through the Department of Community Services. Next, R20-129. This is a pass-through to the Salvation Army for in the amount of $50,000 through the Department of Community Services. And again, COVID response. This is all related to COVID response. Lastly, R20-130. This is a pass-through for COVID response activities to the YWCA of Delaware Incorporated in the amount of $50,000. So that concludes the nonprofit part of the resolution, CARES Act resolution part of the agenda. Does any member of council have any questions, comments on this part of the agenda? Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. My concern is not so much who's getting the funds. My concern is who's not getting the funds. I know that before, right early on, we provided funding to very well-known agencies that have been around for a long time, and they deserve to get these funds. But I know that some of the agencies that have contacted me, as a matter of fact, one of the agencies has been around for a very long time, contacted me over the weekend, and I believe, as I talked to Councilman Street, realized he was contacted as well. So when we see agencies like People Settlement and others that are in the community that may be contacting council members, what is the process to get them considered? There's a number of agencies here, and I don't begrudge any of them. Quite frankly, I don't have any opposition to any of them. I know who they are. But at the same time, they're probably a little bit better connected than some of the other smaller agencies. And as we keep moving into this funding of these CARES funds, I just don't see any of those agencies that are right in the midst of the most vulnerable population being awarded any of these dollars. And I know Ministry of Caring is you know, have agencies right in the midst of vulnerable populations. But it just seems to me that the outreach is not good enough. I know that the money we gave to United Way, and I had no issue with that whatsoever. But there are agencies that are not members. They're not United Way members. So it just seems to me, as I said to the county executive, if whoever's doing this and it's just his people, then I'm going to have a difficult time supporting it because I keep getting calls from people. How do we get respond to COVID? As an example, People Settlement on the east side of Wilmington, it's been around for 100 years. And because of COVID, part of their income was to lease parking spaces because people could walk downtown their office. Part of the income was the rentals for the use of their building. All of that is wiped out. And people in those kind of agencies, when they call, it's like, well, we set up the these task forces and we have one called vulnerable population and so forth. But we have that set up, and I don't think they have the first meeting yet, but we're still allocating funds, seeming to me like off the top. So that's my concern. I think there should be more detail for people to understand how to be involved, who may or may not qualify, but at least they should have an opportunity. And the folk who are just probably the best well-known, probably the best in terms of resources and the best connected is the key word here, are seemingly, you know, are getting funded. And that's just not what I can continue to support. Thank you.
One thing, if I could, in my view, council members in the districts that they represent have a critical and important role in this process. I am in communication with nonprofits in my district, and I have urged them to compile to the best of their ability any losses or additional service that they've had to provide because of the COVID pandemic and the emergency declarations of the state, so that they are going to prepare to engage the process for funding. And I think we have a critical role to play in that. And I'm open, as the co-chair of finance to any reasonable request. and we'll coordinate that with finance. And of course, like you've mentioned, we are going forward with these task forces. With that, before I take any other comments, I'd like to just throw a lifeline out to
you. Well, may I have a follow-up, please?
Yes, Councilman Hollis.
I fully well appreciate that, that, you know, you're asking small, you know, agencies in your district to do just what you said. I'm doing the same thing. But what did these folk that were already giving the money to, what did they do? They're special. I want People's Settlement to be special. So now we're saying, I don't know what to tell People's Settlement, any other, where do you send your itemized cost and so forth to be considered? So it seems to me that if there is a process in place, it should be open to everyone. So apparently there's some agencies that are getting funded now before we set up whatever we're setting up. They're already getting funded. So everyone should have an opportunity to be funded at the same time.
Councilman Cartier, this is Carrie Casey with Community Services.
Yes, please. I'm going to recognize Carrie Casey. Please.
Sorry, if I can just respond. This is the HUD CARES Act funding that we did have to follow a process through HUD. We had a public hearing back in May. As we've presented to County Council a few times, the immediate COVID HUD money that we received was going directly to emergency homeless shelters. And we did send out a application to every emergency shelter in the county and asked them to give us, you know, information on what they needed. And we had a public hearing to discuss all of those needs, et cetera, as well as the need for homeless services, because there's over 1,200 people living in motels currently, to try to get some of those folks, especially people, families living in motels, into permanent housing. So that's where the Family Promise application came from. But this funding, this first round, and we hope and anticipate getting additional funding from HUD, was to try to address the most immediate public health crisis, specifically with our homeless populations. So that's where we tried to be strategic about it. We got a lot of guidance from HUD as well as the other jurisdictions. And, you know, I'd be happy to talk to any, we hope to get future funding, knock on wood. And, you know, that would, you know, in terms of what types of needs, we would be more than happy to reach out to any agency. And we always publish things, and, you know, we're required by HUD to do all of that. So we'll make sure, we send stakeholder emails out. We'll just make sure that we get as many folks. But those agencies primarily are the emergency homeless shelters, and they really need help right now with staffing and emergency medical supplies, you know, cleaning supplies, all of those things.
Thank you, Carrie. I get it. So these are the additional ESG funds.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that
sir.
People were awarded from the original ESG money.
Yes, and the city of Newark, because they're an entitlement community.
I get it. Yes.
Yeah. So this is this is nothing to do with the really big money. Obviously, this is about $2 million in total, but just the first round. And we hope to be more impactful as much as we can with the second and third round if we get more HUD funds.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Council President Hartley Nagel. You're muted.
You're muted.
Okay. I just want to thank the administration for separating these. I know we have 41 resolutions here tonight, and I just want to say this is what I was looking for, and I know some of my constituents, that they wanted to see things broken out. And so I'm grateful and I thank you. I know it's a lot more work, but it is well worth it, and it's transparent. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions about the nonprofit pastor grants for COVID-related response activities? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to – anything from the public?
No public comment.
No public. Okay. Moving along to the ordinance part of the agenda. And I'm going to go through these individually because they're sort of kind of all over the map. Ordinance 20-052 to provide installation of Granville streetlights in the Summit Circle subdivision. located in Pencade 100 and for a light tax based on the cost of streetlights. Councilman Bell.
As per title, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, another subdivision being built and getting streetlights. All right, moving on. Ordinance 20-053, amend the grants budget for FY 2020, appropriate additional federal funds of $326,455.24 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to the FY 2015 Home Invested Partnership Program, HOME, which is administered by the Department of Community Services. So, Councilman Hollins or Councilwoman Diller, who's going to...
I'll yield to Councilwoman Diller, if she's there.
I'll just say, per title, I think we discussed this last time in Community Services.
Okay. All right, are there any questions, comments from members of council and from the public? All right, seeing none, moving along. Ordinance 20-054, amend the grants budget, appropriate $290,288 from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to a Special Housing Choice Voucher CARES Act program designated as Section 8 HCV-CV to be administered by the Department of Community Services to respond to the coronavirus pandemic. Councilwoman Diller?
I'm going to yield to Carrie Casey on that one.
Sure. I'm Carrie Casey with the Division of Community Development and Housing. The CARES Act allowed housing authorities to receive some additional admin funds to help, you know, with staffing and other administrative needs for our Section 8 program. So we received this money in May, and we will be using it for, you know, some safety, cleaning supplies, as well as we're going to have to hire a temp inspector because to start helping us with some of the inspections. HUD is not allowing us to do recertification inspections right now. So once that green light happens, probably the end of July, we're going to have to really get a lot of inspections done in a short period of time. And then we're looking at some other really, you know, hopefully some innovative things that we can do to help landlords and our clients with the additional funding. It has to be spent by December 31st.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions concerning Ordinance 20-054 from members of council? Any from the public? All right. Seeing none, moving along. Ordinance 20-059, amend the FY 2020 approved sewer fund operating budget, appropriate $30,000 to Department of Administration Office of Finance, contractual service budget line item. I know CFO Smith, can you talk a little bit about this?
Yes, this is to increase our budget line item. This is for our third party collector that we have that collects delinquent or severely delinquent sewer debt as well as tax debt. This is the sewer fund, of course. So they've exceeded our expectations, our expected expectations for this year. Their percentage is roughly 10%. So if we were to spend this $30,000, we'd have to bring in another, you know, 10 times that $300,000 worth of delinquent sewer accounts. So originally we were budgeted for approximately, I think it was $75,000. And we've just run out of the ability to pay them because they've exceeded our expectations for collections for this year.
Okay, thank you for that. Any questions, comments from members of council concerning Ordinance 20-059? All right, any from the public? Seeing none, moving along. Ordinance 20-060, amend the grants budget appropriate funding from Newcastle County Council to the Senior Home Repair Program Grant, which is administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilman Tackett. Dave, where are you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pressing my spacebar button to unmute myself. And per title.
And Councilman Tackett, I allocated funds from my remaining grant account for this as well. So I hope you are aware of that.
Councilman. I wasn't aware of who all had decided to join or who may have had any dollars left that they wanted to allocate towards it so we could get the final total.
Councilman Bell and Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Under the guidance of Councilman Smiley, I also contributed, closed out our funds from our account into the senior home repair program.
Good. Councilman Smiley.
Cogier Cartier, just for clarification purposes, for the finance meeting and the council meeting, both 20-060, 20-061, and 20-062 should be referenced as substitute 1-2, because we did receive online substitutes so that they will include the proper dollar amounts.
Okay. Duly noted. Thank you for that.
And I'm sure Clerk Hill will read that incorrectly, but just so we have the correct reference on the record. Thank you.
All right. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
If you're counting, I did split my remaining money between the two.
All right, good. Very worthy cause. Senior home repair program. All right, moving along. Substitute 1 to Ordinance 20-061. Amend the grants budget, appropriate funding from the Newcastle County Council to the 2020 Newcastle County Summer Youth Employment Grant, which is administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilman Street.
First item, Mr. Chairman.
Summer Youth Program. Going to have a, hopefully it'll go forward and it'll be very successful. All right, despite everything. Any questions, comments from members of council? All right, seeing none, anything for the public? Seeing none, moving along. Substitute number 1 to Ordinance 20-062, amended FY 2020 approved operating budget, reduce the grants and fixed charges budget line, item of county council provide funding for the Newcastle County grants. Councilman Tackett, is that related to senior home repair? Councilman Street, both of these, I guess, are funds going from the remaining funds, either going to summer youth or going to the senior home repair program.
Exactly.
So a lot of people.
That's correct.
Okay, great. That's a nice one. Good. Very good. All right, moving along. Any other questions from members of council on substitute 1 to Ordinance 20-062? Seeing none. Anything from the public? Seeing none. Moving along. Ordinance 20-064 to amend Newcastle County Code, Article 5, departments and offices to create a new exception to the purchasing of supplies and services related to the COVID-19 public health emergency. All right, so this is a item, the title is very self-explanatory, but it will allow for the purchasing of supplies without having to necessarily go through all the bidding rules of the county. And I'll just read a little, underlined portion of the ordinance that presents the change. In Section F of Ordinance 20-064, exception for supplies and contractual professional services purchased in response to the COVID-19 public health emergency. The Chief Technology Administrative Services may waive any all requirements of the section for a purchase or expenditure made or proposed to be made upon determination of purchase or expenditure is related to the COVID-19 public health emergency, in which event county council shall be notified within 5 business days of the waiver. So this is a way to, we're faced with acquiring more PPE or more supplies. It's a tough marketplace out there. It's very competitive. And this gives the flexibility to the administrative services people to be able to get out and take advantage of purchasing these things in related to COVID-19 public health emergency. Are there any questions about this? Any comments, questions from members of council?
Councilman Carter has one.
Councilman Carter, yes.
And then Councilman Street.
Yeah, these do give me concern. I understand the need. The supplies and materials doesn't bother me so much. You can make a few phone calls, get a few comparative prices. Professional services is one that can be all over the board and much more difficult. I could probably live with it if we were notified 5 days in advance of the expenditure and had a chance to, as a council person, hold that up, particularly for the professional services one. But I have a lot of reservations about this and problems that can occur, having done a lot of government contracting for many years when I was with the state. So I don't know if that's a consideration or not, if that has been discussed. But I'd be much more comfortable if we had that safeguard in here.
With that, I'm going to just open up questioning the lifeline to CFO Smith. Did you want to offer some perspective on Councilman Carter's concerns on?
With your permission, Councilman Carter, Cartier, I believe that the procurement, Mike Winicky is available to speak on this issue. I think he's waiting. If we could bring him in.
Yes, Mr. Honicki, you have the floor. I see his little square.
There he comes.
All right. Good afternoon, Council. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to this. As referenced, you know,
and this is Mike Honicki, Administrative Services.
Thank you. Mike Honicki, Chief of Technology Administrative Services. Our procurement rules today require us to go out to bid. That process in itself runs an average of 90 days or better, depending on the type of bid you're constructing. And that's the time to build the bid documents, publish them, allow time for questions, and then have the bid closing, and then the evaluation, and then the award. We do leverage many state and cooperative contracts that allows us to speed up different initiatives because contracts exist. But when a contract does not exist, we have that formal process. This would allow us and allow the committees or the task force and council to be very responsive to needs that arise. You know, many times when you look back at the services we procured, like testing services, you know, that falls into a bucket that, you know, will, I think it may even fall under a professional, depending on the category. But the key here is trying to build a system that allows us to expend these funds in a very timely manner before December 31st. And that is the ask here. And yes, we are, you know, can inform council about opportunities that are being approved in a timely manner.
Thank you for that. I want to recognize some council members who want to comment. Councilman Street, did you have your hand up?
Yes.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick is next.
I thought I was hoping I was done fighting for the day, and I'm not going to fight about this long because I'm going to lose. But consistent with what Councilman Carter has said, that leaves a whole lot of latitude for basically to take care of who we want to take care of and support who we want to support. And for the last 15 years, minority participation has been at 4%. And go through this process, it'll be less than that. And I don't think it's fair. And the 90 days, as opposed to working on speeding up the 90 days, basically, we're going contract with who we want to contract with and end the story. And I don't think that's fair.
All right, duly noted. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Didn't we get a substitute today changing that from the original language that said 5 days after it went in to giving council notice 2 days prior to the bid going in, unless there was an absolute emergency where you found out today that you could only get something right now? So at this point, there is a substitute on both 064 and 065 that says that notice will be given to council at least two days prior to the purchase or contract.
So clerk of council, do we have that substitute?
It was sent out to all of us this afternoon.
Yeah. I was here this afternoon. So, all right. So that is actually going to be the ordinance as read.
So I got it.
Kelly,
I'm sorry.
I didn't send a
Councilman Carter. Wait.
Let's go to Kelly
Council, and then we're going to take questions. Yes, Parker Council.
He didn't go to everybody?
I don't know what subsidy you're referring to. I sent three substitutes, 61 and 62.
This is for
065. We had this discussion via conference a couple of days ago, and Mr. Hollins brought up the same concern, and Mr. Honicki said that he would work on that, so they took it from 5 days after to notification 2 days prior. But with the understanding, at least in the discussion that I had with Mr. Hollins on that call, is that this is not something that the notification gives you the ability to say no. It is a notification based on the permission that we've given them ahead of time.
Okay. Clerk or counsel, do we have that?
I didn't receive a substitute.
All right, we haven't received that in writing. All right, let me go through the members of council, then we can work on this issue. Councilman Carter.
Even 2 days in advance, because then it gives us a chance to look at it. And quite frankly, if I do see any problems with it, I would come back with an ordinance to rescind this one. So 2 days before would be something I can live with. But I haven't seen that substitute, so.
Can I say something? I'm sorry.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick, yes.
It might have come in as a floor amendment.
Okay. All right. Council President.
Correct.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I didn't receive that, so it's not on my agenda. And it won't be, unless it comes in as a floor amendment by now.
That's
yes,
my...
Councilman Smiley.
I think it
I just be- want to try to... Mr. Honicki.
Yes, sir.
Let's try to clear this. Sounds like there was discussion, there's no substitute, but there's a potential floor amendment.
Yes.
For 064 and 065?
Correct.
Okay, who will be introducing that?
Mr. Cartier, I presume.
Who has it?
Well, I presume he has it. I have it.
I don't.
I have it.
You, Mr. Hollins has it?
I have it. I got it sometime this afternoon.
Okay, yeah. So somewhere between you two, you can offer the floor amendment
and
trying to go backwards to John, if that's okay with you guys.
That's fine. I'll let Councilman Hollins introduce.
I yield to Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
No, you can do it. You're perfect on that. It was your suggestion to begin with, so you might as well do it.
Okay.
John, you just introduced the ordinance, let them do the floor amendment, then go back to it as amended.
Yes. Mr. Hollins will do it.
Clerk's list, I must be doing something wrong.
Okay.
No, you're not in mess. It's just the fact that I got to go to my other device to fill it up.
Well, so do I.
Okay. Council President and Clerk of Council.
So
what happened on the floor tonight?
We will have it.
So are we discussing now the floor amendment that is going? So what will that be?
The floor amendment, and it's
Council,
both. It's
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
It's the same for both of them. And it just moves it. Originally, it said that council would be notified 5 days after. Now you'll be notified 2 days in advance.
Okay, so we will be notified in advance, because that was one of the issues that I brought up. I'm glad to hear the administration is listening.
Correct.
I appreciate that.
Yes, okay. It says, okay, I found it. It says, it took out notified within 5 business days of the waiver and put in notified 2 business days in advance of the waiver. So if it comes out on, if it's going to come out on a Monday, we're going to get a Thursday notice.
Okay, so we'll also have the opportunity to ask for supplies because I've asked.
It's on both.
Okay, because we're behind in some of the things. And I'm grateful to the administration that they're on top of getting it in. I understand, but, you know, I'd like to see that we have input into this.
There will be a floor amendment this evening proposed by Councilman Hollins for everybody to vote on. For the text that was read by Councilwoman Kilpatrick, yes. Councilman Carter, and then I want to move on to the next.
I just request one more word, that be 2 business days.
It says 2 business days.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Real quick, could you just email that to me? Because I'll have to incorporate it into the ordinance to be signed tonight.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Moving along, we're going to go to the next ordinance, 20-065. To amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 2, Administration, Article 2, County Council, to create a new exception to the approval of the contracts by County Council related to COVID-19 public health emergency. I'm just going to read the additional section F in the body of the Section C of the ordinance. Contracts for the purchase supplies or contractual professional service in response to COVID-19 public health emergency or recovery therefrom, where County Council has appropriated the funds and Chief Financial Officer determines adequate funding is available for the proposed expenditures, in which event County Council shall be notified within 5 business days of the contract award, to be modified by 4 amendment to 2 business days prior to. Correct. So we'll take that 4 amendment this evening. Are there any questions on Ordinance 20-065? Again, only related to the COVID public health emergency. This is only, our rules are set aside in this particular circumstance. Any questions, comments from members of council? Councilman Street.
Well, it's just becoming more and more crystal clear to me. There's a whole lot of sidebars going on. And, you know, the more money's on the table, the more sidebars there are. And it's, I understand it's perfectly legal, but that don't make it right.
All right. Any other questions, comments from members of council? Anything from the public? All right. Seeing none, we're going to move along under other. Newcastle County Council grant requests from committee events. There are no grants. Oh, Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, I would like to make a motion to move $600 from Oldville Manor from their block party to move it so they can use it on their front entrance and grass cutting on the side of their buildings.
I'll second that. Councilman Smiley.
Councilman Sheldon, if you don't mind, I just want to clarify on the record we're talking about. They were already awarded a grant for a project, but they need to move it to a different project, correct?
Yes, correct. Okay. Thank you for the update, especially when your family lives in there.
All right. They don't know me.
We have a motion to change the grant purpose for Old Mill Manor, correct?
Yes.
Okay, motion is second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed. Okay, I have another thing I'd like to also do under grants. So I have three communities, Wycliffe, Afton, and Green Acres, that applied for grants, but because of the health emergency, they haven't been able to really complete the projects that they were going to do at community events. So they've asked for an extension of 90 days for the report on the expenditures, bearing in mind they really haven't been able to do, you know, what they planned on doing. So I'd like to make a motion to extend the reporting on the expenditure of the grant for an additional 90 days for Wycliffe, Green Acres, and Afton.
Second.
Second.
And second. Yeah. George?
Just clarify on the record. So that takes it to the end of September, because we already extended the end of June.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Is it just for those three or just generally that we know that some people could not get the contractors?
These three communities I cut grants for right before the emergency declaration and everything was frozen.
So we already moved it to the end of June generally, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. I mean, I don't have a problem moving it for you or for moving it just generally again if other communities are going to have the same issue.
All right, so take it to the end of September. That'd be great.
Why don't we make the motion to extend the deadline for all grants,
right,
for all current outstanding reports for FY 2020 to the end of to September 30th?
Okay,
yeah, second.
I have a second. I'm going to withdraw my motion. We'll go with this one to extend the deadline till the end of September.
Beyond that, we will swear out warrants.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, thank you for that, and thank you for that flexibility. All right, expense and revenue roundtable. Do we have anything for the expense and revenue roundtable? Seeing none, comments from the county executive branch. Ms. Moore, is Ms. Moore going to offer any comments? Don't see any. All right, anything under other? Oh, Mr. Honicki.
Thank you, Councilman. Mike Honicki, Chief of Technology Administrative Services. I just want to make council aware, as you know, we are in the process of implementing a new financial system in partnership with the Office of Finance. And each meeting, when we send over a resolution requesting authorization of an execution of a purchase order, you get a copy of the old purchase order. That purchase order is actually created in our old system and placed on hold. The new system does not allow us to create the purchase order until it's properly authorized. That means the funding authorized. So what we're going to send to you a copy after this meeting is a copy of the new form that's part of the requisition process that tells you all the same details, the purpose and the benefits and why and how it's funded in a form that goes through with the resolution. And once the resolution is approved, then we can execute or convert the requisition to a formal purchase order. So it's better controls in the new system that requires us to send you information and not a copy of the purchase order, because we cannot create a purchase order unless the funding is actually appropriate.
Thank you for that, and that additional step to create greater financial clarity. That's great. All right, public comment. Anything under public comment? Do we have anybody who'd like to make comments from the public?
Yeah, hold on 1 second, Councilman. I have Dave Del Grande. Okay. Dave, your microphone's open, go ahead.
Mr. Del Grande. Hello.
Dave, are you there? I guess it's my.
There he is. He just popped up. He's not lit up to speak yet.
I know he had a question relating to the CARES Act. He put it in the chat to the council members regarding should Ordinance 20-065 be effective retroactive to the date of the CARES Act funds were granted to the county. Section 2 states that the ordinance is effective upon adoption. Would that make any purchases made to date under the CARES Act fall under current county code?
Yes, Mr. Michael Smith, CFO.
I say the answer's first question is no, it shouldn't be retroactive, and the answer second question is yes. I mean, it's subject to, all purchases right now are subject to the current procurement rules until they're amended. So, for example, if something was purchased for emergency purposes, essentially what's happening right now is all the requisitions and purchase orders are subject to the current county code law. I don't see a need to make this retroactive to the CARES Act. I think moving forward, we'd like to be able to have a little more lenience when it comes to moving quicker between now and the end of the year to be able to, you know, expense the CARES Act fund in the most equitable way and efficient way possible. I hope that answers his questions.
All right. With that, any other questions? I did see.
I think before we are joined.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I saw someone else from the public would like to speak. It popped up, Janice Laura, yeah. I believe, about the opening of the Newcastle County Parks.
Yes.
So, Tara, do you see her?
Yes, I got her. I just opened her microphone. Janice, if you're there, just unmute yourself and go ahead and speak.
Okay. Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. I started to look into when the county parks were going, the playgrounds were going to be open in particular. And I was very concerned, as it seems like there's not really a real plan for reopening. And this is very concerning, particularly when things are opening up a lot. We're going to move to phase 2 next week. Pennsylvania, Chester County has just, they've moved into phase two, their playgrounds are open, and I'd really like to hear what the plan is going forward for opening the playgrounds for our kids.
Ms. Laura, we received a briefing on from the Public Works Department about their schedule for reopening, and there is a plan. I don't have the details of it in front of me. Does any other council member want to offer commentary? Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I had this question yesterday, and I asked Kendall Summers. So as of Monday, she said, we had tentatively planned to open neighborhood playgrounds in phase two, June 15th, and regional/district playgrounds in phase three. However, after reviewing the governor's recommendations for phase two, we may have to delay that schedule. I've confirmed that state parks will not be opening their playgrounds on June 15th, and we have tried to stay consistent with what other park organizations are doing. She went on to say, I'm trying to get further guidance and should have a clearer answer in the next day or two, but I have not, obviously we're just in that day or two. And I just got a text from, the county executive who said Dr. Carol Rattay and Governor today were unambiguous that playgrounds are not safe to open. They mentioned that at today's press conference.
Hey, thank you. Ms. Laura, did you hear that?
I did. It's a little concerning. Again, right across the border, 3 miles my house in Chester County, their parks are open without any limitation, nothing. So
federalism is a wonderful thing.
Pennsylvania, but not okay for Delaware.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick having another comment.
Thank you. I just want to make a statement that if you go on some of the different websites, I'm going to tell you Worldometer is one of them that goes and talks about how many incidents per million. And when you look at Delaware, we are far above Pennsylvania. We are like the sixth or seventh in the country on number of cases per million, and we're something like 11th in the country on number of deaths per million. So I, as much as I would like to be able to take a grandchild to a park, if somebody with a whole lot more knowledge of this is determining that it is not safe, I think that it's better to err on the side of caution than it is just to say for the convenience of everybody, we should just open all of the parks. There are many of us in the same situation. We'd love to get out there.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand the impatience as it relates to our parks. And I also understand we live very close to Pennsylvania. But we have jurisdictional authority here. So here in Delaware, we're trying to follow the guidelines of the governor and the healthcare experts in Delaware. We had some of this conversation earlier, but Governor Wolf, for Pennsylvania, has a different idea. He's broken up his states, as I think all council members know, and they're measuring which states are going to advance before the others. Here in Delaware, we're much smaller, but the point we tried to make before when we had this discussion about opening is that depending on the jurisdiction where you live, those are the guidelines that you follow. And you can see where some of the states that opened earlier, they're having some issues now. And also as it relates to the protests that are going on, there's a fear that we may even have more of these cases. So at the end of the day, we have to follow the guidelines of the state of Delaware. We cannot follow the guidelines of the state of Maryland or the state of Pennsylvania or the state of New Jersey.
But the phase two in Delaware, the guidance that is out on the website does state that parks and playgrounds can reopen.
What that means is that, as the conversation we had earlier, all of these decisions are very
fluid.
All of these decisions as it relates to opening or how much we're going to open are very fluid. So as you look at the science, there is no one particular day where we have absolute certainty, and that's even for county council members, we're having the same conversations, but it's very difficult and challenging. It's not good judgment to say that on a date certain that anything is going to open. We don't know the science that well. Even the experts don't know the science that well. So what Councilwoman Kilpatrick just related to you is that maybe you read that, but in speaking to the county exec and the county exec reported the conversations he's had with the governor's office, there is a change of mind because of the data that we're receiving.
Ms. Laura, okay. I hope that was helpful and useful to you.
Who is the one particular person in the county that I can work with to try to be as up to date as possible and with regard to this issue?
Newcastle County Public Works Department is an administrative department in charge of parks. You can also contact the county executive.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, with that, any other public comment?
Cartier, I've got Sue Moore with her hand up.
Oh, okay. Comments from the county executive? Sue, are you just public comment?
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you very much, Councilman Cartier, for the opportunity. I just want to mention a couple of things that I missed in the window of comment opportunity. And that's just to let you know that County Executive Meyer has hosted an orientation meeting last Friday. Chairs of the CARES Act Task Force to provide an overview of the CARES Act, Newcastle County's principle in approaching the funding, FOIA requirements, conflict of interest, and task force logistics. And there was an email sent out to everyone earlier today that had additional information in it. And I just want to read off a couple more quick bullet points on that. Each task force co-chair is now finalizing and reaching out to members with the help of the co-chair of chairs. Kickoff meetings for each task force are being planned to begin starting next week and will be noticed with the usual 7-day FOIA requirements. These kickoff meetings will similarly be included information for all members on conflicts of interest in FOIA. And if you have any questions, once you get a chance to look at the email that went out, I believe it was Chief of Staff Amon sent that out to you. If you have any questions, feel free to give a call back and we'll get it moving. The other just real quick topic that I want to talk about are the COVID-19 testing site schedules that you've seen me send out over the periods of time. And you're going to see updates on that because those testing sites continue to evolve. So as we get, you know, a week of scheduling on paper, we want to make sure that we get it out to you. And, you know, just the last one that went out was in Spanish as well as English. And, you know, we can really use your help if you have an opportunity to reach out and just, you know, send this in an email blast to your constituents. We can reach as far as we can reach, but I think together, as I noted in the email, it's just so much more helpful if we have, you know, the help of everyone to try and get this word out. If people know they have you know, if they test positive, you know, they can take steps to quarantine themselves. If they think they've been exposed, they can take steps to find out whether or not they're in a danger zone or if they're exposing other people in their family. And that's all the comment that I have today. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for that, and I'm sure members of council will help to extend the COVID testing notification as much as we can. All right, with that, any other comments? Do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. One comment. The council meeting will begin in 5 minutes.
All right. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, the Administrative Finance Committee meeting for June 9th is now adjourned. Thank you.